Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, the editor of naturalnews.com. And today we're going to be talking about autism and vaccines. We've got a special guest joining us today. Her name is Eleni Prokopius. She's the creator of a new website you got to check out called greendivamom.com. And she has been dealing with autism and vaccines for 6 years, and she's found some quite innovative, natural-oriented solutions. So you don't want to miss that. Thanks for joining us on the show today, Eleni. It's great to have you on.
Oh, it's great to be here. I'm really honored to be here, and I just want to say I'm a big fan of yours.
Well, thank you. That's nice to hear. Now, let's begin here with talking about what happened to your son 6 years ago with the vaccines and the autism, and then we'll talk about what you found as solutions. But where did this all begin?
Okay, where this began is that it happened to my second child. My first child is 3 years older, and nothing happened to her. She was 3 years old, and I had my baby, and I did not vaccinate when he was first born. We did go in for his first checkup when he's 2 months old. They gave him his round of vaccines. I didn't see a reaction. At 4 months old, again, no reaction. At 6 months old, we saw a reaction where that evening he had a fever of 105, and we were on the phone all evening. The next morning, the doctors basically told me just alternate between Advil and Tylenol, and, you know, one is not related with the other. And the next morning, we had more issues. He was basically, we were in and out of the hospital, and they kept telling me one is not related with the other, and that he had a virus infection, and it was just coincidental. At that point, I actually switched doctors. I didn't feel they were doing enough for us. And then I went to another doctor, and at 9 months old, he was a very nice doctor, had a nice bedside manner, was very nice. And I was gullible, and I didn't know to do the research, and he assured me everything would be fine, and we did the other round of vaccines at 9 months old, and again, he got sick. And at that point, I decided, I don't know what's going on here, but I take a perfectly healthy baby into the doctor's office, only for him to be sick for weeks on end. And so my husband and I, not knowing anything, we decided, let's just stop and do them when he goes to school, because obviously the thought was, you need vaccines to get into school. So we stopped, and then slowly things started happening.
Now, let me ask you here, at this point, did you completely believe in vaccines and you believed that this was the right thing to do for your child, correct?
Well, exactly, because it was my second child. My first child was a girl and my second child was a boy. Coincidentally, for those who don't know, autism shows up in boys more than in girls. Nothing happened to my daughter. I personally don't have autism in my family. I don't know anyone with autism. I was in the dark. I knew nothing of autism. My doctor herself has 4 children. Her husband's a doctor. She told me she vaccinates all her children, that it was a very large practice of perhaps 10 doctors, and they saw over 10,000 patients, and that all her patients were being vaccinated. She said, for the exception of 2 families who homeschooled and lived on a farm, and she made it sound like as if they were whacks. That, you know,
right.
As if they're extremists and they don't do it because of religious reasons. She made it sound as if those are the type of people that, should they need a blood transfusion, wouldn't do that for their children. They would allow their child to die. So she made it seem as if you're normal if you do it. And so I liked her. I believed her. She was very nice. She was actually a friend as well. But when things started happening for my son, no one returned my calls. No one was willing to help me. And I was basically on my own.
So once things started to go bad, which, of course, always followed the vaccine, they basically had no support for you.
No support. And I want to say that, yes, there is an instant reaction where perhaps, and I should say that sometimes it is so severe that children have died, that it is a very real problem, that it can be from minor to something such as a food allergy, to severe as death. And I think what's even worse is autism, because that's something that a child has to live with for the rest of their life unless their parents go in and do aggressive treatments.
And when did you discover that your son was autistic?
Well, my son, about 15 months old is when he started losing language. At about 18 months old, he started having very bad temper tantrums. For example, where he would start crying because you moved something, and he would cry for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that, it would take place for hours, sometimes 7 or 8 times a day. And it just seemed every time someone would call me or come over, he was crying or screaming in the background. It was just, it was unbearable. I mean, he was a very difficult child to raise. It was very difficult. And of course, he had no language, which made it even harder because he couldn't communicate. So there was frustration on his part, frustration on my part. I didn't know what he was trying to tell me. I couldn't understand him. And he was approaching 2 years old, and he had no language at all. He would say, Mom.
Some people,
for Mom.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. Some people are going to suggest that this was not due to the vaccines. It must have been due to some kind of health problem that you had. Did you smoke during pregnancy?
I didn't. I've always, as a teenager, I worked in a health club teaching aerobics. And I've always been a big advocate of health. I ate well. I was a strong believer in organics. I am not I did a lot of good things. And I was not a smoker. I was not a drinker. I don't use drugs.
Do you work in a chemical plant?
No. I was a stay-home mom. You know, I don't use aluminum. I don't use packaged foods. I cook all my meals. I basically buy raw food and cook it. And, you know, I thought I was doing all the right things. And the only wrong I did was take my child to the doctor for his round of vaccines.
So that sounds like the only possible source of any kind of chemical exposure or heavy metals exposure that you're aware of.
Exactly. And also, for people that don't believe these things, when your child is diagnosed or you're told that your child has autism, of course you have to go and do all the round of tests, because at that point you decide, okay, what's going on here? You know, what do we do? How do we correct this? How do we move forward? What type of future do I plan for this child? How do I cope? How does he cope? And so you go and you do a number of lab work. And then when you start getting these results, for example, we did hair tests. We also did blood tests as well as urine tests, a number of tests. I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars on lab work. When you get these tests, and there was one particular test when he had just turned 2, where we tested him, it was a heavy metal challenge test, and they tested for 35 metals and toxins, and of those 35, he had 29. Now, a normal baby, where would he have gotten aluminum, or where would he have gotten mercury, or where would he have gotten arsenic, or where would he have gotten lead? All these different things that just didn't make sense. And then when we started looking back and we saw that he had a reaction, and what I did is I took his immunization lot number, and I took those lot numbers, and I hired an attorney, and we took those lot numbers and we checked with the vaccine programs, and those lot numbers were considered hot lots, which means those were the highest number of complaints. That batch had the highest batch of complaints.
So do you suspect that those lots may have been contaminated at the manufacturing facility?
Yes. And also, it's never been tested. They've never done the proper tests. They've never tested they isolate things. For example, mm-hmm. They'll isolate the DPT versus the others, but they never test them together. So there could be a reaction, perhaps, of too many at one time, or perhaps
sure.
There's too many preservatives in one versus others, or perhaps, you know, mercury, let me just explain, mercury is used, the name in the immunization is thimerosal. Thimerosal, its main component as a preservative is the mercury. And the mercury, when it's sent to the doctor's office, is sent in a vial. And the nurse is supposed to put the needle in, shake it up, and then pull out for the syringe. And this is where it gets tricky. If she doesn't shake properly, she's not dispersing it. And she
right.
might be pulling out more thimerosal, more mercury in one versus another.
Oh, it could be 100 times the concentration.
Exactly. And just the amount that they have in there is so significant that they say that the amount in there is enough for an average male of 180 pounds. And this is being injected. And if not dispersed properly, it's being injected in babies that are under 10 pounds, under 20 pounds, and they're supposed to be getting that, and sometimes they're getting too much of it. And so that's why parents say, I lost my baby. All of a sudden he had eye contact, he was playing, and all of a sudden he was just gone.
Have you been able to connect with other parents who have autistic children now? I mean, do you have a local group or an online group?
Originally, they were there for me, and they were very supportive for me. I found that I just did best on my own, because within the autistic community, the main things that they talk about is the gluten-free, casein-free diet. Basically, it's dairy allergies and wheat allergies, the gluten. And then, of course, preservatives, food coloring, and then, of course, they talk about behavior therapies and chelation. We did that. That wasn't enough for us. We needed to go further and further and add more.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about what works and what you did to bring your son back into really more normal neurological function today.
Okay. Originally, so let me backtrack. He's 2 years old. He's autistic. He has no language. We run a number of lab work. We see what's going on. We have specialists. By this point, I've spent an enormous amount of money. I'm on planes all the time. I'm going to various different specialists and been in 7 different states. And they're all saying, okay, he's got a gut issue. They're addressing the symptoms. He's got food allergies. We need to address the food allergies. You need to be on a restrictive diet. Okay, he's got yeast issues. He's got behavior issues. We're going to do chelation. Chelation means detoxing. We're going to do these things. So you do... There is a whole protocol, so to speak, about doing all those things. Some of it works, some of it doesn't. And it's almost like doing the tingle dance. 5 steps forward, 2 steps back. And that's what most people in the autistic world encounter, that they see progress and then they see regression. And then they start beating themselves up thinking, well, what was it? What did he eat? What did he eat that, you know, we've lost progress or he's regressed? You know, and then they start freaking out about the diet or a virus infection or something. And in some cases, that is true. But the parents are focusing on the symptoms. They're not focusing on the body as a whole, and that you really need to heal the body as a whole. And, you know, at that point, he's probably, you know, we had done a number of things, and we had done behavior therapy, by the way. We'd done everything you could think of. I mean, it was like a checklist. Okay, we need to do this, this, and this, and you just go down the list. And you're like, okay, it works, it doesn't work. You know, every person is different. And basically the top things that do work, and I want to say this, is detox. You have to remove the things that initially caused the damage. Then you have to rebuild the body and rebuild the immune system. And by doing that, that means feeding the body well, whether it's in juices or raw food or healthy food. But it has to be clean. You have to, at this point, start living a very green, organic, healthy, natural lifestyle. That's the only way you're going to see major progress that's going to stick, and you're not going to have regression. And I want to say, at this point in our lives, my son is 6 years old. He's fully recovered. He's mainstreamed. He's actually academically ahead. He no longer has any food allergies. We have no behavior issues. He's just wonderful. In fact, he's unrecognizable amongst his peers.
So, in other words, no one encountering your son would think that he's autistic at all?
No. In fact, this summer, he takes a number of activities. This summer, he was taking Taekwondo and also baseball when we just started the fall. And I said to the Taekwondo instructor after he was in his class, after like a month and a half, and I said, how is he doing? Is he paying attention? Does he seem spacey at times? He said, no. He said, why do you ask? I said, well, my son has recovered from autism. And those were some of the issues we had. He's like, you're kidding, right? I said, no. And he said, my brother has Asperger's. My twin brother has Asperger's. I know autism. There is no way I would have picked that up on your son. And I said, thank you very much. That is really wonderful to hear, because you have no idea where my son was 3 years ago. My son 3 years ago was nonverbal. He only had a 20-word vocabulary. He was 4 years old at the time, and he was in the body of a 4-year-old, but in the mind of possibly a 2.5-year-old. And today, he's wonderful.
Wow.
And it's just remarkable. And I also want to take a moment to say that, okay, so I've been doing this for a long time. And, you know, originally I went down my checklist and I thought, okay, I need to do this. I need to do this. I did this. It didn't work. Why? Okay, we need to move on to the next thing. And my husband, he works. I gave up my career to be home and take care of our child. He said, okay, what crazy scheme do you have now? Okay, what's going to be now? You know, do we need to fly to Peru to pick up the latest and greatest? You know, what do we need to do now? And so he started, you know, mocking everything. And, you know, I just started searching. And the internet has really helped me. Without it, I don't think I would have been able to save my son, because the internet has made the world a small place. And I want to say at this point that that's when I discovered you about 3 years ago, going to then you were Natural News. And I would just take really good information that you were offering for adults, modify it for a younger body, and did some of those things. You know, I did use John Barron's products. I did use the spirulinas and the chlorellas in helping me detox. I did use X-Balance, all those wonderful minerals.
Great.
And vitamins. I mean, your antioxidants. I mean, you name it. I have so many things that I do. And, you know, and then, of course, I was juicing and I was making smoothies and I was making almond milk and making homemade yogurt. I mean, I was doing all these extreme things and people thought I was crazy. But the way I looked at it is, we either suffer and we do it all and at 100%, if not 200% for a short time, or his future is jeopardized.
You say you're doing extreme things, but you know, as I'm sure you agree now, what you were doing is completely normal. To feed a child healthy foods is normal. Superfoods, that's normal. What's extreme is to inject a child with toxic chemicals and heavy metals. That's extreme. You know, and adulterated virus fragments. Those vaccines are extreme. What you were doing was normal.
They are extreme, because, you know, people are going to listen to this and say, you know, this mom, you know, she's just looking for someone to blame or do. But if you just look at the basics, the reason the immunization program exists is to have preventative measures so that you don't get sick. It's actually supposed to help aid your health. And in fact, we did that, and it affected my child's brain to the extreme that had I not intervened, my child would have been institutionalized. He would have not had the future that he will now. And so why should anyone do that to a healthy, beautiful child? Why should the system do that? We are raising, actually I have something here that's, here it is. The question that people should be asking themselves is simply this. Why is the most highly vaccinated population in the world raising sick children?
Right, exactly. Yeah, it could be because the vaccines worked and all these children are supposed to be perfectly healthy.
Exactly. And basically the spectrum works from the left to the right, and you always want to work to the left, meaning that on the left you have ADD and on the right you would have autism. And my son was diagnosed with PDD, which is right next to autism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're always working from the right to the left. And my son was PDD. One out of six children, according to most statistics, one out of six children has a learning disability. One out of nine has asthma. One out of 150 children have autism. Now, that's autism. That's not the spectrum. That doesn't include the PDD. That doesn't include Asperger's. That doesn't include other learning issues. So there's a huge number in there. It's just unbelievable. Children today are being faced with diabetes, food allergies to the point where they can die. That's how severe these food allergies are. All kinds of food allergies, whether it's to wheat or dairy or nuts or soy or everything. I mean, the major food groups. And I'm in my 30s. I don't remember these things going on when I was young. I mean, it's just unbelievable what children are, what they're dealing with today. It's just unbelievable. And people have to wonder, how did all this come about, you know?
Right. What do doctors say to you today when, you know, you have opportunities to talk to people about this? You're becoming better known on this topic, and you've got your website going on. And Let me put that website out there again one more time. That's greendivamom.com. What do doctors say to you when you say that vaccines caused your child's autism?
Well, you know, there's a number of doctors that are either for it or they're not. The ones that don't, parents shouldn't even go to them. They're really pointless. They're going to put your child on medication so that they can cope, so that, you know, they're really not going to improve. They're just masking the problems. And then there's doctors out there. There's an organization called DAN, the DAN Group. It was started by the Autism Research Institute, which is based in San Diego, California. They're the largest autism group, and they actually have conferences, and they have a panel of doctors that they train on the latest and greatest things on autism. And they call themselves Defeat Autism Now, which stands for the DAN Group.
Uh-huh.
Most people seek out DAN doctors. They look for DAN doctors because those DAN doctors know what tests to run. They know what to look for. Again, their research is continuously improving, but that's a wonderful point to start. Seeking a DAN doctor. And, you know, from there, as your child improves, you just start looking at your child and you say, okay, what do we, you know, now my child is talking. Now he's got his behavior under control. What do we do next? Okay, now we need to see perhaps a speech therapist or perhaps a occupational therapist or behavior therapist. You just start working down the list. And there's a lot of help out there. There's a lot of help. And you have to have some big pockets. But for those listeners that feel, you know, you need money to cure this, I just want to say that's not the case. What you need to have is the dedication and the passion and the love to know that there is hope and that your child's progress really depends on how much of a fight you want to take on. And
That's good to hear.
For myself, with my child, I had all these wonderful things. Once I started doing my own research and I started saying, okay, my doctor said, you know, we should watch out for free radicals, and we have a gut issue, and we have, you know, inflammation. Okay, well, what am I going to do? Okay, well, I'm going to cut down on the foods that possibly cause those things. I'm going to go more raw versus cooked because I want live enzymes. I'm going to juice it because he'll get that energy boost and he'll get it instantly versus it being digested and processed and, you know, kicked in a few hours later.
Right. So it sounds like you've got them on a diet that really all children should be put on anyway, which is fresh produce, raw foods, juice, superfood nutrients, all of these things. You've got them on a great diet.
And you know what? And that's when I started seeing my big, big jumps. That's when I started putting the pieces together. I was doing before the gluten-free, casein-free diet, and I thought, oh, okay, well, good for him to give him. I could give him a cookie because I could give him this type of bread. It's gluten-free, casein-free. Well, it also contained soy. It also contained perhaps some sugar or something in it. And then I just started stripping and stripping, and I started taking everything away. And I'm a mother of three children. My entire household runs this way now. And I bought a Norwalk juicer. Are you familiar with those?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am.
Like the mother load.
Yeah.
It's like a $2,500 juicer. I juice three times a day. I make a smoothie. Basically, I do two juices a day and one smoothie. That's just a way of life for us. I look at my juices as food. I don't spend that much time preparing meals because every time I make a juice, it takes me a half an hour.
Uh-huh, right.
But these are... I say originally when I started doing these things, it was extreme to me because I was slowly taking baby steps away from the Western world. And now I've been doing this for 3 years. This is just a way of life. This is just how we choose to live. And it's just remarkable that had I known all these things from the get-go, I would have saved myself so much time and money. And so,
oh yeah.
You know, when you asked me earlier, what do doctors have to offer? Well, they do have some things to offer, but they don't offer the complete solution. And so I've developed a 10-step protocol. Can I mention it? It's really simple.
Yeah, of course. Let's go through that.
Okay, 10-step protocol to healing autism naturally. Number one, mentally preparing, meaning that you really need to figure out, okay, what's going on here? What caused the problem? How do we... You know, it's a wake-up call of your surroundings and the environment and the world that we live in. Number two, is when you go into action mode, and that's cleaning out. And cleaning out means your kitchen, your food, your environment, your equipment, your appliances, your products, everything. And number three is cleaning in, and that means basically living a green life with your kitchen, your food, your environment, your appliances, your products, everything. Number four, you really got to get those three steps in order. Number four would be the diet. And the diet means, you know, trying to stick with as much as you can afford organic food only. And for those who can't afford to be on 100% organic food, you know, just look up what foods you should be buying organic, the number one, and you work on that list. And diet, going back to the diet, organic food only, nothing in a box, fresh or frozen only, lots of potassium foods, no salt or sodium. And if you do choose to cook, I like a lot of raw food myself, but if you do choose to cook, cook your food slow and at very low heat.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you can take it even further. I mean, you know, like other soy and nuts and so forth, but only if you have those issues. Number five, the do's and the don'ts about autism. You really need to figure that out so you're not playing that tango dance, that you're constantly moving forward, that you're not addressing symptoms, but yet addressing the core of the problem and healing the body as a whole. Because what most people don't realize is that the body is a wonderful healing machine and that it's made to heal itself naturally. And you just need to navigate it in that direction. Number six, huge, I feel this is so important, is juicing. Lots of juices, lots of really good green juices. It just puts the body in the right alkaline state. And there are so many wonderful recipes out there, and I know they're on your website as well. Green juices. I also do 2 carrot apple juices a day, at least 8 to 12 ounces a day. Just so many wonderful vitamins in the beta-carotene and the malic acid and just the combination. It's just so many wonderful things. And also, if you have children that, you know, are finicky eaters about fruits and vegetables, juice it.
Mm-hmm.
If they're
not going to
eat spinach, juice it.
Yeah, because all you need is the juice. You don't necessarily need all that spinach fiber every meal.
No. And can I just take a moment to say, when you juice, it's instantly absorbed in the body. When you eat it, it takes about 15 minutes. When you cook it, it takes 3 hours. So if you're juicing, you know, just look at it. It's amazing.
Right.
Number seven is lifestyle changes. You have to forget about the typical things that you were doing. They're just not going to work anymore. Picking up macaroni and cheese does not work. Going to McDonald's is a no-no. Drinking Coke is, you know, should not be done, especially on children. You've just got to start thinking about changing the lifestyle. Earlier I said about appliances, get rid of those Teflon. That's iron. That's aluminum. Get rid of certain equipment. Change certain cleaning products. Change what you buy. Change all that stuff. So it's basically a lifestyle change. Number eight is chelation. And what I mean is you've got to go detox. You've got to basically remove all those toxins that are stored in the body, in the fat, and in the bloodstream. You've just got to clean up the body. And the way I chose to do that with my son is we did use a chelator agent called DMPS. We also use juices such as beet juice, and I also purchased a sauna, which my son would go into on a daily basis. And that was a wonderful way of detoxing naturally. He would go in, and, you know, I had the whole routine down. I mean, he would jump on the trampoline for 10 minutes. He would go in with some compound minerals and vitamins that he would take prior to going to into the sauna. He would go in, he would be in there, and every 5 minutes we were opening the door because it was so hot, and we had a full glass door, so outside the glass door, he was watching a cartoon. That was the only way I could keep him in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he would watch his movie, and every few minutes, very important that the child is rubbed down so that as they're sweating, it's not being reabsorbed into the skin.
Oh, okay.
You know, rub him down on a regular basis, and this is really important. You turn off the sauna, and then you let them stay in there for another 10 to 15 minutes while the sauna is off. That takes the pressure off their body, but it puts them in a really good sweating mode. And that's really when I saw him really sweating. Then I would take him out and I would give him some compound minerals and vitamins again. You want to be very careful with a young child and the sauna. You just don't want, you know, anything happening. there was a doctor's protocol that I followed. Then he would come up and I would shower him, you know, with cold and warm water, and then I would towel him dry, and I would give him a possibly like maybe a 2 to 5 minute deep tissue massage, because it kind of moves all those toxins around that may be stuck to the fat cells. And then I would just dress him and giggle him, and we would read a story, and that's what we did. I mean, from start to finish, it takes about an hour. But that's something we did every day, and we did that for 80 hours. Lee, that's 160 visits, you know. That's 160 times that he did that. Because this isn't something that you do once and you're done. I mean, it took us about half a year to do that. But I was consistent. I would wake up in the morning and I would go to sleep, and it was all about my son, and it was all about autism. And I also want to say that supplements helped us, and there were things that I knew he needed, all this wonderful stuff that I couldn't, you know, crunch in before and after school. So I just broke it out, and I would give him so many things in the morning, and I would go to his school at 9 o'clock. I'd go back in at 12 o'clock, and I'd go back in at 1:30, and then I'd pick him up. And I just made a point of every day throughout the day, I would give him things that I knew his body needed but would not be absorbed as well if they were given all at once. I would do that. And I just want to say something funny. At lunchtime last year, I needed to go in because I would give him his lunch, and the nurse, the school nurse, would not give my son his antioxidant, his betaine, and his digestive enzyme.
Really?
It did not have a prescription. And my doctor sent a note, and he said, this is medically necessary for this child. And she said, I'm sorry, I need a prescription. I need it coming from the pharmacy, a lab script. I cannot give him something that's over the counter.
Wow, so the school nurse can't give a child something that's good for them, some
no.
nourishment, but she can, of course, give them dangerous toxic chemicals.
Exactly. She wouldn't give my son a digestive enzyme. And so
that's amazing.
Yeah, and I just made a point of last year going to the school 3 times just to do this, on top of dropping them off in the morning and in the evening. And then this year, I mean, it was so much running around. I felt like I was in and out all the time last year. But my son was very important to me. I knew that I couldn't let the whole day go by without him getting these things. Like at 9 o'clock, I would go in and give him Modafinil? Yes.
The brown seaweed extract? Yeah.
Yes. I would go in and give him that. And then, you know, at noon, I would give him his digestive enzymes and his antioxidants, his betaine. And then at 1:30, I would go in and give Neurogen. And that you do need a prescription for, but that just helps break everything down.
Let's continue with the 10-step protocol. I want to make sure we get all that in here.
Thank you. I'm sorry. So much to talk about. So number 7 was lifestyle changes. Number 8 was chelation. You could do a number of things for chelating, which we just talked about. And also talking about chelation, beet juice is really good for chelating. It really helps clean the body. Number 9, once you've done all those things, and in that order, then you start talking about therapies. Then that's really when your child's going to benefit from OT or speech or floor time or sensory or auditory processing or behavior therapies. You need to do it in that order. And the reason I say this is simply this. I'm going to give an example. I know you wouldn't do this, Mike, but let's just say you were out last night, had a few too many drinks, and this morning you're not feeling too well. Okay? You have a hangover. I really want to have a serious conversation with you. I am not going to get the best input from you if you're in that state of mind. Am I right?
Right.
Now, let's just say that, you know, you went to bed, you woke up, you had a good breakfast, and, you know, you come to work and you're fresh. This is the perfect time to have conversation. Isn't that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what's going on with children. Children are living in a fog. They're living in with all these toxins. There's a lot of things going on in their body. And then the parent is taking the child for some type of therapy at $100 an hour. And they're just not seeing the progress. You really need to do those things first so that you can maximize those sessions. Because I did that, and it didn't work for us. I spent one summer, I spent over $40,000 doing ABA, and my child was still not able to say 2 sounds, T, V.
Wow.
He was nonverbal at the time. And I thought, what is going on here? I'm doing 6 hours of ABA at $85 an hour times 6 hours a day. 5 times a week, and my child is still not talking. What is it going to take for my child to start talking? And at the time, I was under the care of doctors, and it just still wasn't happening for her. So you really need to do those things in that order, and that's when you start doing your therapies. After that, that was step number 9. Number 10, once you're at this point, you're living fearlessly, and mm-hmm. that's taking control. That means you don't ever have to fear anything in life. I mean, with everything that I'm doing, I highly doubt that anything's going to happen to us, you know, like a degenerative disease, like cancer, only because I know so much. I'm doing so many wonderful, good things for my family. So those are really the 10 steps of, you know, healing autism. And if you can, you know, if you want to eliminate that therapy section, those are really the 9 steps of living in this day and age, of living a natural, healthy life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because all 10 of those steps are things that really every person should be doing, every adult, and teaching their children how to do.
Exactly. And, you know, those are the things that we do on a daily basis right now. And we don't do as much sauna, maybe once or twice a week, if that. It just depends. We've got so many activities these days between tennis and taekwondo and baseball that sometimes we don't have time for that. But I make sure I do the rest of the things. And that's what happens. On the beginning of autism, you have a lot to do. You have a full plate. But as your child gets better, you have less and less to do. But there are certain things that stay on that plate that you're always doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you want to take on. And, you know, people need to take little baby steps. Really look at your child and say that, I know, even though the professionals and the experts are telling me my child is not going to get better, I know that I can make my child better. I know what I need to do. I know that I'm going to take it one day at a time, and I'm going to fight for this child's future.
Well said. And what would you say, we only have a couple of minutes left, but what would you say to parents who are considering vaccinating their children, but they're kind of on the fence? They're afraid of the risk of autism, but they sort of believe the doctor who says, oh, don't worry, it's all completely safe. What would you say to that parent?
I really believe that they really should do their own research. And, you know, if anything should happen to their child, their doctor is not going to take the responsibility, and they're not going to be forced to raise that child. I think every parent really needs to educate themselves before they do anything to their child. And there's so many wonderful websites. There is one website in particular that was started by a mother who had a vaccine injury in her child in the 80s, and it was with the DPT. And that website is National Vaccine Information Center. It's sometimes abbreviated as the NVIC, but their website is nvic.org. And
okay,
that website puts out information on everything related to vaccines, not just for children, even the flu shot or anything.
Mm-hmm.
They're just a wonderful resource. And if I could give their phone number as well, it's 703-938-3783. And that website again is nvic.org.
Okay.
And they're just wonderful. Mike, if you wouldn't mind, I also have 3 other really good websites if I can share.
Yeah, go ahead and list those.
The other good website that everyone should be familiar with if they're dealing with any type of challenge on the spectrum is Autism Research Institute, and that website is autism.com. Their phone number is 866-366-3361. Now, if there's parents out there that need support and they need someone close to them other than just on the phone or on the internet, there's another website that offers parent support in your area. They actually put you in touch with people in your area that can help you. And that organization is called unlockingautism.org. And their phone number is 866-366-3361. It's the same phone number as ARI's. Okay, so I just gave 3 really great websites. I want to share 2 more. Another great website that really helped us on the front end is, if you Google autism, I mean, there's just so much out there, you feel the overload. But there's a wonderful website that really helped me on the front end deal with the therapists and what to do and everything, the education, the politics, the schooling, the lawyers, all of it. All of it in one website, and that's Talk About Curing Autism. Their website is TACA, TACA Now, TACANOW.org. So it's TACANOW.org. Their phone number is 949-640-4401. And I don't know if you've heard, I'm sure you've heard it, Jenny McCarthy, the actress, mm-hmm. She's a mother of an autistic child, and she just became the spokesperson for this organization, TACANOW.org. She's been wonderful in the autism community. She's really been able to bring a lot of attention to it and also offer hope to parents. And one more thing I want to say. At the very end, about sometime last year, my son had made incredible progress, but we still had a couple little things we needed to work out. And on most doctors and on most things I had done, they pretty much had told me, okay, this is as good as it gets. You know, those are just things you're going to have to deal with. And that's really when I was fine-tuning. And when it comes to fine-tuning, that's actually where you have a lot of work, because that's where you have to figure out, oh, goodness, okay, where do we go from here? And that's when I started doing more research, and I started researching. Have you heard of the Gerson Institute?
Oh, of course, yeah.
The Gerson Institute.
Max Gerson.
Okay, of course. The Gerson Institute, based in San Diego, California. So I started looking at their program only because I thought, well, if their therapy can treat a degenerative disease such as cancer, why not use components of that to help with autism? And I looked at their program, and I flew out there and did a 3-day workshop, and I interviewed Charlotte Gerson and did a lot of research, and that will be on my website as well.
Okay.
And basically, I realized that there were some components there that also helped us, and I've also done portions of that into the program for my son. And their website is gerson.org, and that's GERSON.org, and their phone number is 888-443-7766. And now I just want to say that they have, it's a lot. They have a very detailed program, and it's really meant for cancer patients, but I used portions of that program to help my son, which was the juicing, the raw foods, and, you know, keeping it, and the high potassium foods, low salt, and a couple of their recipes are really wonderful, and all these really natural, wonderful things. And I haven't said this, but supplements were also a big part of it. You know, as long as I'm buying the good stuff, I'm not buying things from like Walgreens or CVC. I mean, I'm buying things from online, really great sources.
Sure.
Actually, I found out about that stuff from you, you know, just from reading your website.
Yeah,
like,
that's,
you know,
great.
The Amazon herb products and the John Barron products and Olé Olé and the X Balance and, oh, goodness. I mean, we do a lot of things, so.
Yeah, well, that's the great news, is that all of this is available now to those people who are willing to embrace it. Now, we're out of time, Eleni, but I want to thank you for joining us today and sharing all of this wonderful information. Folks, you've been listening to Eleni Prokopius. Green Diva Mom is the website, and that's Green Diva, D-I-V-A, mom.com. So be sure to check that out. And thank you for joining us today, Eleni. It's been a great pleasure talking with you.
You're welcome. You're welcome, and I've enjoyed talking to you, and I hope this information helps parents, and it gives them hope to take charge and to really, you know, do what they can for their child.
It absolutely will.
Wonderful.
You provided a lot of great resources.
Great. I hope it's able to help someone.
Thanks.